in airports, in government buildings, in hospitals, all kinds of places. You'll walk past a door and it will say, authorized personnel only. And in virtually all of those situations, I'm not authorized personnel, so I can't go in. Sometimes it almost feels like maybe I have limited access to God. That I have level one clearance, but you know, you have level two clearance, or some people really have level three clearance, but you know, I'm stuck at level one. And there are some doors that simply say authorized personnel only, and that's just not for me. But the Bible says that really we all have access to the same God. And the Bible says in James chapter 5 these words, therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you'll be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now listen to this next statement. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly. Now, by the way, as you read the book of 1 Kings, you will notice four prayers from Elijah. Three of those prayers were answered, yes, boldly. One prayer was answered with a resounding no. The one prayer that was answered with a resounding no was when Elijah prayed, God, my life is nothing, just take it away. God said no. But there are three prayers that were answered with a resounding bold yes. And in essence, here's a record. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, there are a couple of lines, a couple of statements from that passage of Scripture that I want to put up on the screen and underscore. And here's the first one. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful, and it is effective. And here's the second statement. Elijah was a man just like us, meaning I am just like Elijah. Elijah is just this great old prophet of God. He's just like me, and I'm just like Elijah. And I read that, and I go, yeah, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. No. I got level one clearance. He had level three clearance. I'm just like Elijah, and he's just like me. Yeah. And I'm as handsome as Tom Cruise. And my bank account is just like Donald Trump's. And I can ride a bicycle just like Lance Armstrong. I'm just like Elijah. And what the Bible is underscoring is that the hero of Elijah's story is God, not Elijah. The power was in the prayer, not the prophet. The power was in God, not the man. And Elijah did know something that I hope you know, and that is God wants to be asked. God wants to be asked to even do his will. And Elijah asked, and God responded, and Elijah's just like you, and you're just like him, and that if you will ask, God will respond to your prayers as well. We have the same access to the same Heavenly Father. Now, for a few moments today, I want us to talk about some areas where we may not pray and why we don't. You ready? Here we go. We'll try to get through five. Number one, material things. And sometimes we don't pray about material things because it makes us feel a little too selfish or maybe even a little vulnerable. I just prefer to just take matters into my own hands. This past Wednesday night, one of our teenage girls here in church, I was talking with her, and she said, hey, Mr. Ronnie, you can do something for me. I said, well, I'd be happy to. She said, would you pray for me about a new car? I said, I love to pray about cars. And I'd be happy to do that. She said, well, I'm doing some babysitting now, and you know, I've saved my money, and I need good, dependable, responsible transportation. Would you pray about it? I'd be happy to pray about that. I know of a family that thought about getting a vacation home, but they prayed about it first. Not just, hey, we earned it, we can afford it, we'll do it, thank you. No, they said, we need to pray about this. We need to ask for insight. We need to ask God, is this something that will be a source of refreshment for us and others, Or is this going to be just one more layer of our cocoon where we stiff-arm the world? Will this be a source of refreshment, or will this be a source of isolation? And only you, or only that family, could answer those questions at that time. But they took it to God. Hillary Sturman in our church prayed about her husband. Many of you know Hillary. She grew up here. She now lives in Los Angeles, where she is a law professor at Pepperdine University. And Hillary was always just a very gracious young lady. She was very bright, usually just top of her class. In fact, she went to Pepperdine University as a faculty scholar after her undergraduate degree at ACU. Hillary is also very tall, about 6 feet tall. And she likes to wear high heels. And she had this prayer for her husband long before she met him. She said, God, I'm praying for a man who will love you with great enthusiasm. I am praying for a man who will be a good intellectual partner with whom I can communicate well. And I'm praying for a man who is taller than me when I'm in high heels. And there's her husband, Matt. He's 6'10". And a good man. Sharp, godly, tall. Material things. Pray about that. Don't feel like you're being selfish. If you're being selfish, God will fine-tune it. Here's the second area. Sometimes we don't pray for wisdom because it just feels too wispy. It feels too unexpected. I mean, how do you know if you're getting wisdom or not? But see, I need wisdom not because I need answers. I need wisdom because I need to know the right questions to ask. I'm not just saying, God, guide my plans. I'm saying, give me the insight to even know the questions I should be asking. How many people do you know right now, and you would think, that person's just completely clueless because they even asked the wrong questions? God, don't just guide my plans, give me your plans. Don't just give me answers, give me the right questions and help my thinking process. And the book of James says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you can go to God who will give generously to all, and he will not be critical of you, he will not find fault. James says in his book, when you're facing choices and decisions and directions and trajectories, the best place to get input is from God himself. He has the wisdom. He loves to give it generously because your decisions matter. You say, oh, well, my decisions. Yes, they do. They matter to the people who are closest to you. And those are the ones who mean the most to you. Your choices do matter. Your decisions do matter. So pray about wisdom. It may feel like a wispy, unexpected kind of thing, but God says you can trust that I will give you an increased measure of wisdom. Here's the third area, change in other people. And sometimes we may not do that because it may feel too controlling, or we may feel just too helpless, like we're just it's the spiritual version of banging our head against the wall. Some of us may hesitate to pray for change in other people because somewhere along the line we've been told we shouldn't try to control another person. But that is the point of prayer. Listen, we are shifting control from you to their Heavenly Father. And their Heavenly Father wants all of us to be shaped more and more into the image of Jesus. And so what we're doing, we are inviting God. We're inviting God to work in that person's heart and life. Now, you could whine. You could nag. You could withdraw. But rather than whining and withdrawing, why don't you just invite God to shape that person, get this, in his image, not necessarily in the image that you have crafted for that person. And as you pray for that person, get this, you become more aware of that person as a person. Listen, if you're not praying for me, I'm just the preacher. But if you're praying for me, I'm Ronnie. You praying for our president? When you pray for someone, that person becomes more of a person to you, and it softens your tendency to fix people with quick, caustic comments. Think about parenting for a moment. You know, for years I've said that parents are plan A when it comes to children, and the church is plan B. I repent of that statement. God is plan A. And I realize parents point to children, but God is plan A. Parents are plan B. The church helping to supplement is C. But until we become convinced that I, in my own, regardless of my parenting techniques, that I cannot change my child's heart, until I become convinced of that, I will not take prayer seriously. But the best gift we can give to our children is our prayers for them. We, in essence, give them up in a good way. And until we become convinced that only God can shape the hearts of our children, we'll not take prayer seriously. You'll notice a chart that I have in your order of worship, a chart that talks about, you know, good asking. And on one side, there's despair. And on the other side, there is demanding. It's easy to go either into despairing or demanding. A person who despairs in prayer just says, everything's out of control. The other person will never change. What's the use? I've given up. The other extreme of demanding says, I must have power. I must be in control. And yes, I will pray for that person, but it's just one more weapon in my arsenal. Along with demanding and threatening and whatever. But good asking says, I will ask and surrender at the same time, and the role of prayer is central. And so, what we do, rather than drifting into despairing or demanding, good asking means we give up in a good way. We give up on our ability to change people. Instead, we cling to God and invite Him to weave His story into the lives of the people that we care about. So, here's the fourth area, change in me. I may not be praying about change in me, because that feels really scary, because if I pray for greater humility, God's going to put me in some humble situation. And when it comes to praying for character change in me, that can be really scary, because I may not want to give much thought to the areas of my character that specifically need changing. Jesus one time described people with these words in Matthew chapter 11. Basically, he was saying, John the Baptist is not this way. But here's what he had to say. He said, would you go out to the desert to see a reed swayed by the wind? He said, that's the way most people are. And they need direction in their life. And prayer opens the possibility for direction and change in me, because now I am inviting the presence of the King in. Gang, let me just say this about sin. Sin will kill you. And if you do not repent of deceit and rebellion and lust and pride and greed and jealousy and self-centeredness, it will take the life out of your world. It will kill your joy. It will kill your future. It will kill your friendships. Sin will kill your marriage. It will kill your relationship with your children. Sin is a pernicious evil. It is all-consuming. It is a demonic force. But when we confess and repent and give it to Jesus, He can take it away, give us a new direction, and there is life and hope. Repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is your ability to make changes in a good direction. Let me say that one more time. Repentance is your ability to make changes in a good direction, and that's only possible through Jesus, and it is a fantastic gift to us. The transformation of your marriage, the transformation of your friendships, the transformation of your families comes through repentance. It is the way that Jesus works as he moves us forward through continual, humble response to the areas of our life that need changing. Repentance is your ability under the hand of God to make good changes in a godly direction. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift. You remember when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg Cathedral door on October 31, 1517, and started the entire Protestant Reformation? Thesis number one reads as follows. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ willed that the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. It is such a good gift that I don't have to stay stuck, and our marriage doesn't have to stay stuck, and our friendship, that we can make good changes in a godly direction. So pray about material things. Pray for wisdom. Pray for changes in other people where you invite God to do a work in that person's life. Pray for those changes in you. And maybe do what Penny Clyde was talking about this morning in the video, where you say, God, I want you to search my heart. Search and reveal, shine a spotlight on those parts in me that I am stubbornly refusing to release. And help me to see the joy that can come about when I release these areas to you and make changes in a good direction. And last of all, sometimes we may not pray for change in our culture because it feels so impossible. It feels so big. But if we could put the scripture of 1 Timothy chapter 2 on the screen, 1 Timothy 2, the Bible says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And we're invited to pray for change in our world and our communities and our culture. Listen very carefully. Nobody can serve this world like you can. Nobody can bless our community like you can. Nobody can be such a beautiful resource to our community like a Christian, like a believer. Why? Because your relationship to the world has changed. You don't look at our community the way other people do. You don't look at our community as the place where you go to find ultimate joy. You don't look at our world as the place where you go to find your identity. You don't get your identity from the world. You don't get your ultimate joy from the world. You view the world as the place where you go to love other people, to share the story of Christ, to serve. It's not where you find your identity. It's where you go serve. It's not where you're looking to be fulfilled. It's where you're looking for somebody to love and help. And so your relationship to the world changes. You love people, you pray for people, you want to help people, but you see the devastation of sin in our world, and you know how to help people find forgiveness. You know how to help people find a new direction. You know people who have been wounded, and you know how to help them get their identity back, get their dignity back, get their life back, and it's only possible through Jesus Christ. Nobody can love our community as well as you can. Nobody can help our world like you, because this world's not your home. And you bring that perspective and you bring that dynamic. This world's not your home. Heaven is your home. Heaven awaits you. You know Jesus. Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is serving you and interceding for you today. And you then, since this world's not your home, you're such a gift to this world because you can intercede for our world. And you can pray that our elected officials, even though they may not be believers, you can pray that they will be influenced and governed by God and that they will make decisions that are prudent and what you bring that to bear. Well, sometimes we forget all this. And I've got a solution when we get forgetful. You ready? It's the church. It's when I get forgetful in prayer, it's you reminding me, hey, Ronnie, you're just like Elijah, and God's still on the throne. And it's me reminding you, you're just like Elijah. You've got level 3 clearance too. You've got full access too. And God loves to be asked. And we remind each other when we get forgetful and when we start to feel hopeless. Okay, I'm through. All right? Let's spend a little time in prayer this morning. First thing I would like to do is ask you to take a look at your communication card. That's in your order of worship, and you will find a place there, first of all, for everybody to register. And we would like for you to do that, and to our guests, a very special welcome to you. And there's also a place on your communication card where you can indicate a desire to be baptized, to talk with someone about baptism, for you to talk with someone about membership in our church, about identifying with this family of believers. And there's also a place there where you can write out a particular prayer request, and lots of you do that during the week, and it's our privilege to partner with you in prayer. So why don't you take a moment and write out that information, and when you finish, you can just pass those cards to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers here in a few moments, they'll collect those. Now, if it's convenient for you, why don't you go ahead and be standing? Go ahead and stand up now, please. And we're going to enter into a time of prayer. And let me invite our prayer leaders to come on down front and be standing down here. And our worship team's going to come back up on the stage. And during this time of prayer, you are invited to come down and pray with one of our prayer couples down here. I encourage you maybe to pray in groups of 2 or 3. Just pray right there on your own. And could I give you 2 or 3 specific things to pray about today? Would you pray for marriages in our church? Would you pray that over the next year, not a single marriage will break up? Would you pray for a spirit of thanksgiving in our church family? Because sometimes when you get a little dismayed and discouraged, you need to look back, all of us, we need to look back and see the faithfulness and the goodness of God, and that gives us a little momentum to move forward. And so of all the things you pray about this morning, would you pray about those? Now, everybody, we've all got a lot of specific things on our hearts and mind, and that's why you're welcome to come down here and pray with one of these couples. We love to pray with you. You're invited to come and do that. Let's sing together as we pray.